Hebrews chapter 10. And you can hold a finger there if you want, just a few other pages to 1 John chapter number 5. So this will be the first message we have in the year 2019. And it'll be a simple message. It'll be like Christianity 101. And it'll be on a challenge to be committed throughout the entire year. That's all that it'll be. So I want you to stand with me once you find Hebrews 10. We'll read that first. I'll read these verses to you. There's not that many. And then we'll go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'll read there a few as well. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Well, I assume you know this, but the first couple of verses we read there, they're referring to who? The Lord. And what did he come to do? He came to do the Father's will. Now, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And notice the last phrase, and his commandments are not grievous. Father, as we look at your word and a few other passages along with the theme of the day, I pray that you would bless it, challenge us, clear our minds. I would pray that by now with the songs that we've sang, everybody's mind has been adjusted to think about the things of the Lord and all the clutter has been gone, but we pray if it's not, you'll remove it. And we'll focus on the word of the Lord, what we're here to do. We're here to be challenged from your word. Obviously, Lord, we would love to see lost people come to know thee as Savior. And we would like every Christian to be built up in the most holy faith. So do a work of grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I suppose, I'm not one of them, but I suppose by now, after the first of the year, there are several people that have made New Year's resolutions. I don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't think I've ever made a New Year's resolution in my life, to be honest. It's just not something that I've do. But I do notice that when most people make them, they don't last anyway. I give you a simple thing. So you go to the gym. And when you go to the gym, January and February, man, it's busy down there. By second, third week in February, you pretty much can go down there and do what you want to do. Because, you know, the New Year's resolution that started, I'm going to go exercise and I'm going to go to the gym. Yeah, somewhere that's fallen by the wayside. And somebody and I were talking, it might have been me and you, I don't remember who it was, but we were talking about how it's amazing when you go there at the beginning of the year how full it is, but shortly thereafter, that got boring, that got hard, that was too much. I don't like to get up in the morning, or I don't want to go there after I get out of work because I don't want to do anything after I get out of work, you know, so they don't last. But if I could pick one for myself, a New Year's resolution, and if I could pick one for the church that I'm associated with, this would be the one, something like this, that I would pick. That I might be committed totally to the cause of Christ. That's a New Year's resolution worth having. And that our church would be a church that is wholly committed to the cause of Christ. We would be a committed people. Now, I mean committed. I mean committed to living for the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Just committed to live for God. And I wouldn't only say I want to be committed. I'd set out to make sure that I was doing it. And I'd like to think that the church would make sure that they're out doing it and living it as well. And even when things get difficult and when things get hard, they still say committed to the Lord. You know, when things get tough, which seems to be a lost virtue, that when things get tough, commitment goes away. You ever notice how many families end up in no longer being a family? I don't know how to say that. Split up, broke up, going everybody going every other way. Because they're not commit. The commitment is gone. Now, the word commitment, that word is not exactly in the word, but this word is, commit thy ways unto the Lord. You're supposed to commit your ways unto the Lord. And the thought of a commitment, that principle is scattered throughout the Bible. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10 that we read first, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. But I want you to notice here in 1 John chapter 5, and we read it in verse 3, for this is the love of God, if we keep his commandments. You say, I love God. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you keep his commandments? And then he said this, and his commandments are not grievous. The commandments of God and the thing that God asked me to do and the thing that God asked me not to do, those ought not to be that difficult. They ought not to, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, why do I got to stop doing that? They're not grievous. I don't understand when people find that. So when I think about commitment, to commit my ways unto the Lord, there's two primary words I think of. I have three, actually. Love, obedience, and righteousness. Those are the ones that come into my mind first. Now, when we talk about living for God, we're talking about that you are prayed up, that you have a prayer life. There are times in your life when you decide, you know what, I've got to make a serious decision for the Lord, and you know what I need to do? I need to fast. And when I talk about being committed to the Lord, I mean, you know what, I'm going to have me a Bible reading time. I'm going to learn how to give to the cause of Christ and to the glory of the Lord. I'm going to witness and I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to keep myself confessed up. I'm going to keep short accounts of my sin. My life, I want it pure and I want it holy before God because I want to be committed and sold out for the cause of Christ. Now that would be the one I'd pick for myself, and that would be the one that I would pick for the church that I'm affiliated with. And I'll add this, because John did is here, and I'm going to say it two or three times. The Christian life is not a hard life to live. His commandments are not grievous. Shouldn't be. You shouldn't find it that difficult to do. If we did all that most, if we were just committed to the Lord and found his commandments not grievous, and we just did all of those things, do you know that most all of our other problems would kind of just work themselves out? I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. When people learn to live by biblical principles, things in life do have a way to work out. Now, I'm not saying spiritual warfare isn't real. Spiritual warfare is as real today as it's ever been. But some of the things we face aren't because of spiritual warfare. Some of the things we face, we bring upon ourselves because of a lack of obedience to the truth that God has already shown to us in his word. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Now, let me give you a simple example. So there's a believer, and this guy's been saved, or this lady's been saved. They've sat in church a while. Last Sunday, there was three people baptized. So they've seen some people baptized, and they've heard the pastor mention it from time to time occasionally, and other people talk about it from time to time occasionally. But they decide, you know, I'm saved, but I've just decided I don't really want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, is that person walking in obedience? No, they're not. Then, or they don't maybe even want to affiliate with the church. Those are basic things to the Christian life. So if I could pick one thing, commitment and obedience and righteousness, I'd combine them into one. That would be that you'd be sold out and dedicated to the things of the Lord. I mean completely surrendered. Now, why would I want myself or people to be obedient or committed to the Lord? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. We'll use some Old Testament illustrations. Genesis 6 is the story of Noah in the flood. I've said before, I'll say it again, I think the most important chapters of the Bible are Genesis chapter 1 through 11. Everything has its beginnings in the book of Genesis. You find creation, the fall of man, the first promise of the Messiah, the scattering of the nations, where different races come from, languages, all that's in Genesis. And so we find it here. But in verse chapter 6, because of sin, God's going to send judgment on the earth. And so verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So God said, here's what I'm going to do. In verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I'm going to come back and read more, so don't lose your place there in your Bible. One of the reasons that I think we ought to be a committed people is obedience pleases God. You understand that? When you obey God and you do what God wants you to do, that pleases God. It makes God happy. Now let me ask you some kind of basic questions. Do you want to please the Lord? Do you want to make God happy? Do you want to obey Him in all things? Do you want God's favor and God's blessings on your life? You see, obedience pleases God. The goal of every believer should be ultimately the glory of the Lord, so that one day you'll hear the Lord say at the Bema seat, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I'm not I believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I don't think you ever lead anybody to Christ through lifestyle evangelism, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Pretty clear on that. But I never really expect people to come up and ask me how to get saved unless I ask them first. It happens occasionally. What is it about you that's different? There's a lot of things about me that are different, I'm told. But I do think we need to do right, and we need to live right, and we need to be right in front of people. So when they do ask us, or when we do ask them, we don't look like a hypocrite. We got to live right. So, and if we are to please God, we must be telling people about the Lord so we can glorify Him in seeing lost people come to Christ. So it's in every area of our life, obedience pleases the Lord. Our language, our dress, our conduct, the music, our entertainment. Everything that we do should be committed to the Lord. Now, God told Noah what He's going to do. Going to destroy the people. It said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want you to go down to verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come upon me, has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then He said in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make it in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. And He goes on down through there, and He tells Noah how He wants him to build this ark. Now listen, God said, Noah, build me an ark. So verse 22 said this. Go jump down there. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, God was fed up with the way people were living on the earth full of sin. So God says, I'm just going to destroy them. That's all. I'm going to wipe them out. All but 8 people. So He gets a hold of Noah. He says, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And Noah says, okay, Lord, I'm going to build you an ark. Now, Noah did that by faith. You say, how do you know that? Well, I've read Hebrews chapter 11, so that's how I know it. But actually, back before Hebrews 11 was written, it had never rained before. That's not how God watered the earth before the flood. So it had never rained. But God, so Noah's like, build an ark. Can you imagine people walking up to Noah? Noah, what are you building? I'm building an ark. What's that? That's a big old boat. Why are you building so far on the land? How are you going to get it in the water? Oh, I don't have to put it in the water. The water's going to come to me. God's going to send a flood. Now, do you think everybody's buying into that? Ain't nobody buying into that. He did it by faith. He obeyed by faith. And God blessed him. Now, do you think that made God happy? You see, obedience pleases God. That's the first reason. Let me give you a few more. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Your obedience pleases God. My obedience pleases God. Romans 6. Obedience brings righteousness. Now, it's very similar, I realize. Romans 6, where do I want to begin reading? Verse 13. I thought I wrote that down somewhere. Maybe I didn't. Oh, I know what. Hang on a minute. I think I got my pages out of order. Then again, I turned to it once. Obedience brings righteousness. Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That's kind of what we're talking about, surrender, yield, obedience. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. God's people, you, those of you that know Jesus as your Savior, God's people should desire righteousness in their lives as well as the lives of other people. Here is why. How many of you get upset when you hear somebody take God's name in vain? Oh man, that bugs the dickens. It's just wrong. So I'm getting something the other day down at Taylor Rental, and the guy come out and took God's name in vain. He was helping me put something in the back of my car. I said, well, you don't need to talk about God like that. It just rubs you the wrong way. Because there is a measure of righteousness that you appreciate. And things like that are not righteousness, and you want to see some righteousness. Now, there are those, evidently, who care less about righteousness, and that's why, evidently, it doesn't bother some people to hear God's name taken in vain. Matter of fact, as a Christian, I can't imagine they'd even be a Christian. They might participate in that. But listen to the world. They're not all that interested in righteousness. But you ought to be, and I ought to be. Obedience to the Word of God brings righteousness. It's light in darkness. That's what it is. Righteousness means conformity of the heart and life to the divine life. It's close to holiness, actually. Used in Scripture, it's comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart and conformity of a life to the divine law. Now, what's that fancy language mean? It means you take your life and you conform your life. You let God work in you. You get the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God. And you say, I'm going to obey the Word of God. And God conforms your life to what God wants it to be, not the way you want it to be. That's what that means. You conform your life to the divine law. And I assume that true believers want to do that. That they want to conform their life to God's book more than they're concerned about themselves. I am sure, unfortunately, that my assumption is not always accurate on that. Because it doesn't always seem like people are interested in living a righteous, holy, obedient, godly life. Now, we don't live that way to get saved, don't misunderstand. But because we're already saved, and we want to please our Heavenly Father, the more obedient we are, the more righteous we become. Pleasing God, that's why, it brings righteousness. Then let me say this. Obedience brings blessings. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, you don't need to turn there, is the story where Abraham was told by God on Mount Moriah to offer up a son, Isaac. And it's a very moving story. So, Abraham, he's already obeyed God when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He's messed up a few times, we know that. But he's going to offer up Isaac, his only son. And just before he gets ready to sacrifice his son, God stops him, and there was a ram caught in the bushes that was used for the sacrifices. Now, can you imagine Isaac coming down with Dad and says, well, here's the fire, and here's the wood, and here's this. Where's the sacrifice? They didn't have a sacrifice with him. And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. By the way, there's also prophetic implication in that wording of that. God provided himself as our sacrifice for our sins. Now listen, obedience brings blessings. God blessed Abraham, and that ram was caught in that thicket. But hear me. When you obey God, it does not guarantee that you're going to see the results exactly like you want to see them, at least outwardly. See, we don't have a wealth and health gospel where you say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey God. Boy, I've had my eye on this new car. I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to ask God to give me this new car. I've got it all picked out. I got the color picked out. I got the wheels on it all picked out. I got the sunroof, the stereo. I got everything picked out just the way I want it. And if I'm obedient, God's going to bless me with that new car, right? Wrong. Not necessarily. But I will say this. When I talk about it brings blessings, there is a sweet peace and a sweet joy when we do what we know we are supposed to do. You can have peace and joy in any circumstance in your life, no matter what it is. Chris and I were talking about Johnny Erickson Tata the other day. She got married. And she said, you know, it's really something that a guy would have just asked her to, with the she's a paraplegic. She's paralyzed from the chin down. And yet this Christian man believed it was God's will that he marry her, and so he married her. I mean, that's something. But there is a sweet peace and joy. Some of you listen to her on the radio, you know who I'm talking about this lady. I mean, it's just, there's something, and no matter what the circumstances of life, you can have that. Now, in several places in the Bible, you find that God rewards obedience with blessings. So let me share a little bit with you what I'm going to talk about tonight when I talk about covenants. In the Bible, there are two kinds of covenants. There are conditional covenants, and there are unconditional covenants. Unconditional covenants are covenants that are made by God, and they're totally dependent upon God to bring that covenant to pass. And no matter what I do or no matter what you do, that's going to happen because it's an unconditional covenant, because the one who makes the covenant can fulfill the covenant. But then there's a conditional covenant in the Bible, which we'll look at this evening, and we'll read at least one tonight anyway, where God says, if you do this, this will be the results. But if you don't do this, this will be the results. That's a conditional covenant. Obedience brings blessings for the child of God. Disobedience takes away the blessings of God. Now, I don't know anybody who would come out and say, I don't want the blessings of God on my life. I don't know anybody that I know would say that by their lifestyle, though they live that way. You see, obedience pleases God. Obedience brings righteousness. Obedience brings God's blessings. And then if you would please take your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 21. You may not be as familiar with this particular story. Obedience brings security. Now, there are two things in life that people look for, security and stability. Everybody wants security, and everybody wants stability into their life. Well, security comes from the Lord. Stability comes from the Lord. That's where they're to be found. In 2 Kings chapter 21, let me start in verse 8. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them. You see that second phrase there? And according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Now, in this case, you can go back and we'll read a few verses earlier in the chapter here in just a moment. But Manasseh is reigning over Israel. And he was one of those not so good kings, bad. So look at that verse 2 now. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, what he did is he set up false worship after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He set up false worship. He made his sons, look at verse 6. He made his sons pass through the fire. What kind of person does that? They got him, that's witchcraft. He set up graven images. Used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And then it says, and he set up a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And look what he did there. Now this guy's bad news. So then in verse 8, the Lord said, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more of the land which I have gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I commanded them and according to the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Verse 9, but they hearken not. Did they obey? No. Did Manasseh lead them in the right way? And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That is one sad testimony of a guy right there. I mean, one sad testimony. And you know what the result of that was? You continue to go down through these. You'll see there was a lack of security. So many people today lack security. You know what kind of people they are? Believers whose life is full of sin. They lack security. Non-believers, afraid to die. I have a family member in my family that I've never seen anybody fear. He's not a believer. But he fears death. I mean, he doesn't even go to all calling hours unless it's immediate family. He just can't stand being, he'll be as white as a sheet of paper when he walks in. Now, nobody really likes to go to funeral parlors and funerals, I can't imagine. Well, you know what? Let me back up on that. There has been a few people that have got older in life and they've kind of lost their mind, and I know they're a Christian. You know what I've said? This has been my prayer. Lord, take them home. Just take them home, Lord. There are some people, older people that have said, I just want to go home. I just want to go home to be with the Lord. So I guess those people just as soon, even though they're not there, spiritually anyway, they're just their bodies left there. I guess they kind of don't mind going if it's them that are dying. But the only hope comes through faith in Christ. The psalmist said, be of good courage and he shall strengthen thee, strengthen your heart, and ye that hope in the Lord. But there's some people that have no hope. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That you're not supposed to be hopeless in those situations. Because the ones that were powerful, concerning those which are asleep, the believers in Christ, we know where we're going to be. I don't fear death. Christians ought not to fear death. Now, lost people fear death because they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. They don't know where they're going to go. But praise the Lord, you can know where you're going to go. I know where I'm going to go. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in no hurry to get there, but in one way, but in some days I'm like, okay, Lord, this is a good day. I'd be glad to go to heaven right now. I don't fear death. Now, once we have that hope, we are secure in Christ. Once we have a personal relationship with Him, and once we start living for God, we are secure in our obedience. The Christian life, again, is not that difficult. It's just a life of obedience. So as I start the new year, I want to be committed to and obedient to Christ, because obedience pleases God, because obedience brings righteousness, because obedience brings God's blessings and security and stability. And you know where I would start? I would start with all the basics. I would start, if I was a lost person, I would get saved. I would become a believer. The Bible says, he that believeth not is already under the condemnation of God, under the wrath of God. Then I'd follow the Lord in believer's baptism, because it's the first step of obedience after salvation. It doesn't have any power to save anybody, can't wash away any sin, but it is an act of obedience, a public confession or profession of your faith. You're saying, I'm ready to follow God, and I'd identify yourself with Christ. I'd do that. Then I'd commit to being faithful to the house of God. I want you to look at a couple passages with me on this. Let's start in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. I want you to look at this verse, so I'll wait a minute. He said, but if I tarry long, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, usually when we teach on the church, we say the church is a what? A people. But I want you to notice what Paul said here to Timothy. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. It's also a place. We're here assembled together. It's not the building, but it's this place. This is where we assemble together. And there is a particular way which we're supposed to behave in the house of God. But then I want you to notice what it says. The pillar and the ground of truth. Now, unfortunately, not all churches have a whole lot of truth in them. I was out witnessing yesterday, and I came across a Catholic lady. And I didn't lead her to the Lord, but I think if we keep working on her, I think she'd get saved. But she told me where she goes to church, and so I knew it was a Catholic church. You can tell by the name usually. And I said, so you're Catholic? Yeah, da-da-da-da. So she came to church here a couple weeks ago. She's a little bit disenchanted with Catholicism right now. She goes, you know, they don't even open the Bible there. I says, I was raised in a Catholic church, ma'am. I know all that. She goes, they never even read from it hardly. I said, nope, I know. Nobody carries the Bible. I'm like, you're right. Uh-huh, I'm agreeing with her. So not every church is a good church. But there are churches out there that are good churches, and we have the pillar and the ground of truth. That's why people need to make much of the church. I'd commit to being faithful to the church of God where the word of God is taught and preached. I'd pray for the church. I'd be loyal to the church. I'd support the church. I'd be faithful. I want you to go back to Isaiah chapter 58. Probably we should have stopped there when we were over that way. Now, I'm going to use this as application because we do not practice Sabbath worship today, okay? But it said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, well, we're not Jews and we're not Old Testament Israel. We're not practicing a Sabbath, but look at the principles. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we're not Israel, we're not of the house of Jacob, and we're not Sabbath keepers. But the Lord's day is a special day. It is. And Hebrews says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It is amazing to me how everything gets in the way of people going to church. I was talking to a gentleman earlier, I think it was Monday. What day did we get a little bit of snow? Tuesday? Whatever day it was. It was that day because we were talking about the little bit of snow. We've hardly had any snow at all this winter. But let's listen to Syracuse News, and they tell you how much snow they've got over there. And every time I go over there, the grass is green as can be. But anyway, Bill Gammett mowed his lawn in December this year. He had some leaves he wanted to mulch, so he went out and finished mulching his leaves because there's been no snow. But anyway, you can ask Bill about that later if you want to. He was telling me. Anyway, we were talking about this guy, and we were talking about church. Well, you know, we take the boys wrestling here. They got 7 kids, just him and his wife. These go here, and these go there, and those go there. Because I had talked to him before Christmas, invited him out to Christmas services at Cantata and such. No, he couldn't make that. He had this, 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 and this. And then it's this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Back off of some of this, 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 and this on the Lord's day and honor the Lord's day. Keep it the Lord's day. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Did you know when we go on vacation, and I know some of you do the same thing, if we're gone on a Sunday, we go to a church. Say, where do you find it? Well, with all the fancy high-tech equipment you got, you can pick your phone up and go like this, and it'll show you where there's one. You don't even need to You know, we used to have to stop and get a phone book out of someplace in the store and go in and get a phone book and say, well, here's an independent Baptist church. Let's call them up and see what they think. Sometimes we hit a good one and sometimes not so much. But we try to go to church. It's the Lord's Day. We want to honor the Lord's Day. I will say this. I would make much of the church. I mean, make much of the local church, our pastor used to say. Why? It's obeying what the Bible teaches. You're not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. It identifies one publicly with the Lord and his people. You know, your neighbors sometimes watch you. They see your car leave the driveway Sunday morning, Sunday, and they see it. Huh? How come they don't go to church anymore on Sunday morning? That car never leaves that driveway on Sunday morning anymore. It's amazing, but people know what they do that. But what it does is it identifies you publicly with the Lord and his people. And it provides instruction for the Christian life. When you're in a good Bible-believing church that opens the Bible and teaches and preaches the Bible, you're going to get instruction for Christian living. You are. It helps a Christian define God's will in place of service. You'll figure out what God wants you to do. It makes you part of the getting the salvation message out to the rest of the world. This morning I mentioned adopting a missionary or two or three or whatever you want to do as a family to be an encouragement to them because we want to continue to get the gospel around the world. If it weren't for the local Bible-believing churches, how are people going to hear the gospel? Then I'd start a daily quiet time. This is a new year. If you've never read through your Bible once in a year, make it this year. Now, if you've done, I'm not saying you have to do that every year, but if you've never done it, challenge yourself to do it. I read through my Bible once in a year several times. I actually have a Bible somewhere in my library that's a one-year Bible reading where you read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a little Psalms, and a little Proverbs every day for the whole year. It's kind of a handy little Bible. I kind of liked it. I've read through that Bible, that particular Bible, several times. Then last year I read through the whole Bible, and when I finished the New Testament, I went back and I read through the New Testament again. I got the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once. And now I'm back in the Old Testament. Let me challenge you with something. If you've never started to read your Bible through, start reading. Pastor, I don't understand it. That's okay. Just read it through anyway. You won't understand all of it, but you'll understand some of it. And then the next time you'll read it through, you'll understand a little more. But I can promise you something, after I've been reading my Bible for 35 plus years, I'm reading it. This happened like this past week. I'm reading a Bible verse and I'm like, and this is in Proverbs. How many times do you read through Proverbs if you read a proverb a day? It's like, huh, I never saw that verse in there before. It happens all the time. I'm like, how did I not see that? The Bible's alive, man. It is something I do. I'd start a quiet time with the Lord. I'd commit to learning to live a life of holiness and to please the Lord. And I'll tell you the last thing I do. I'd commit to telling other people about Jesus. We need more evangelists in our church, more soul winners, whatever you want to call them, people to come out on organized visitation on Saturday morning and go out door knocking or go and make callbacks or something. Or when the weather gets nice and the days get longer, Tuesday evenings, or whatever fits your schedule. I'd witness, but let's say, well, none of those things fit my schedule. Then you witness wherever you are. Brooksy, I'm going to use you as an illustration, because I've had dinner and lunch, supper with him several times, breakfast even. But I will say this about him. Wherever we go, and I just wait for him to do it, he always introduces me to somebody as the pastor and always invites him to church. 100% of the time almost, and usually has a track with them. But you don't always have a stamp track with you. You should at least have a track with a stamp on it, you know, a church stamp, so people would know maybe they want to go to church. We tell them where they are and give them the address and all that. He's very consistent, and I appreciate that, and very faithful with that. He's not a pastor. He's not a deacon. He's just a good guy. And every good guy and every good lady can do the same exact thing. Pass out gospel tracts, invite people to church. I never thought I'd say this, but I am going to say this. I think we need to get lost people in the church now more than ever before. Why? so they can get under the ministry of the Word of God and start learning something. They don't know anything in this culture today. I mean nothing. I think I mentioned to you, I was witnessing to a lady the other day in my office, and she didn't even know who Jesus was. Where do you start? It's like, man, let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. As I look at entering a new year, I want to be committed. Do you? I want to be obedient to the Scriptures. Do you? I want to live for God. That's my yearly goal. I want to be dedicated. I want to be sold out. I want to be on fire. Because if I do that, do you understand that a lot of things in life, they're going to kind of just take care of themselves? And I'd go right back to the basics if I've got away from the basics. I'd go right back there, and I'd rededicate my life. Or maybe for the very first time in my life, I'd surrender my life or commit my ways unto the Lord. And I would start getting serious about living for God. And I would just do it. So let me go back to where I started. Are you committed? Are you obedient? Are you walking in righteousness? Holiness, faithful to the things of God, faithful to witnessing, faithful to Bible reading, faithful to prayer, faithful to fasting when necessary. Are you faithful to the things of the Lord? Father, as we start this year, it's the first Sunday of the new year, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about being committed, about being dedicated, about being faithful. And if there's a person here this morning, or several, that has never surrendered all, I mean just surrendered everything, and decided and made a commitment to the Lord, that they would make that today. They'd make it to you today. They'll be sold out. You'll set our soul afire. And will be used for your glory. If there's somebody here who's never shared their faith, never witnessed, never shared their testimony, never passed out a gospel tract, I pray they will. They'll start this year. We'll get the gospel out this year more than we ever have. So Lord, I pray today you challenge each and every one of us afresh and anew in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith, would you play, please? Let me ask you, commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Dedicate. Surrender. You can come and kneel if you'd like and say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. I'm committing myself to you. I'm surrendering to you. Whatever you want to do, you can do. But you do that this morning. And if nobody else goes with you, you do it anyway. table in the Welcome Center, that little shelf there, there's a box that has calendars in it. And we're a couple days late. They should have been out a couple weeks ago, but there's, grab one or two or three and take them home if you want. They're there for you to take. If you want to give some out, you can do that as well. We usually end up with a lot more than we need. Don't forget, if you're going to go to Mary's Baby Shower, sign up for that, please. Adopt a missionary. Pick a missionary or two or three or whatever you want to do. Did you guys inside the bulletin, is there a flyer in there that was supposed to be about their missionary closet? Okay, our missionary closet's in need of stuff. Whatever's on that list, bring it in. And if you have any questions, ask my wife on that. But there's a little box out there for the missionary closet. You can put stuff in there. But check the list. You might have some of that stuff home, or you might want to go pick some of that stuff up just so we can be a blessing to the missionaries when they come through. All right, let's stand together. Sign up on the bulletin board on those things I mentioned. Father, we are grateful for your word, for the principles, the simple principles of commitment, dedication, righteousness, obedience, the blessings that we can have and the blessings that we can rob ourselves of. So, Lord, I pray that you would cause every person here to take a good look, an inventory of their life, myself included, I'm not excluded, and be honest and open with you. And if we're not where we need to be, Lord, put us back to where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's